This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
It's nothing you did.
It's not you, it's me.
It's not you, it's you, but you didn't cross me.
And the Bulldog.
Why did I choose? Why did I just stay in school?
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Rolling along into the 6 o'clock hour we go. I am the Bulldog. Happy to welcome in on the Wester Hotline right now. On very short notice, answering the bat signal. We certainly appreciate it. Mike Jannetty from SpotTrack. Mike, we're sitting in here sort of poring over Devontae Adams' contract. People are calling us wondering if the Bills can spend some of Von Miller's money because he's suspended. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know who we should call? We should call Mike Jannetty. And here you are. So thank you for taking the time to join us on the Wester Hotline. Always appreciate it. How are you?
Good. I appreciate it. No days off over here, right? It's a Wild West in the NFL.
Right. So, you know, the way this works, I mean, you know, for us out here that don't run SpotTrack websites or other, you know, NFL contract cap websites, Devontae Adams, oh my gosh, his cap number the next 2 years after this one is $44 million each year. He's 32 years old. Get me out of here. I can't possibly send a second-round pick and bite off that contract, plus what he's owed this year. All right, so talk me down. Tell me how it's realistic that any team with cap problems or even the Bills could make a Devontae Adams trade work, if they can.
Well, first of all, that's absolutely the right take, right? I mean, all of those things are absolutely true. There's still 13 and change remaining this year. So even that, you know, for an in-season acquisition is way on the higher side. You know, generally speaking, teams are looking for value even in week five, let alone by week nine at the deadline. So everything about Devontae Adams right now is a little bit too much. But there are certainly teams in need, right? There's already, without even trying, where there's probably a half dozen teams that makes sense for this player and actually have ample cap space. There's a few notable contenders that really kept themselves, thrifty cap-wise heading into the season. The 49ers, the Browns sit at the top of the list. And a team like the Commanders, who I think might be the best fit out of the gate here from what I'm reading and just, you know, from a logical standpoint, you know, they could take on this contract immediately. But you're not wrong in saying that the last 2 years of this contract starting next year are extremely fluffy and make no sense for a 33-year-old wide receiver. So this is probably a two-part situation that's going to take longer than we all want it to, right? Because if he's on the trade block today, now we start talking about draft compensation, but also a reworked contract. And what does that look like? And is this going to be a rental for 2024? Or are we going to get ourselves into a situation where it's this year and next year? And then we can talk ourselves into something about a second-round pick. But right now, that just seems too high, and it seems like that's what the team has floated to the Schefters of the world to try to get the public outcry
right
like we are right now.
Right. So looking at your website here, after the 2024 season, you've got in the margins here, potential out 2025. So how easy is it for a team acquiring him to get out of what they'd be acquiring that's left on that contract?
Complete scot-free. So if this is just a one-to-one scenario, you're taking on Devontae Adams at cost, it's $13.5 million fully guaranteed this year, and you can walk away next year with zero dead cap and zero cash to be paid
out. Okay, so that's very attractive.
Absolutely. So if somebody's willing to do that and willing to go, you know, into the mid-tiers of draft picks to give up to get him, it can be a very clean process. But I think the player is looking for, a final contract here, one last heave-ho. And I think it makes the most sense to bring him on for at least a year and a half. So, like I said, it's probably going to be more complicated than we wanted to. But you want to overpay for a rental, it's very easy, contractually speaking.
Right. How cumbersome does the $13 million that's left, and I believe that goes down by just about a million, just for ballpark figures for our sake of the conversation here, is like 900 and change each week, I think, gets off of that. So, you know, if he doesn't get moved right away and this drags into November when the deadline is, you're acquiring even less for this year. But that said, you know, you still are going to have room. So, can the Raiders help out there? Like, I know the Browns are getting a lot of attention the last couple of weeks for what they did with Amari Cooper's contract before the season started. Can the Raiders eat some of that money and then demand more compensation? Or is that, you know, are we too late on the NFL calendar for them to do that?
I'd say right now they're not in that mode because it is week five. We're still, you know, a good month away from this deadline. So there's not really anything up against November 5th right now saying we have to do everything we can to get the best possible draft pick. You want to wait out the process for a month and get closer to that deadline when it is about a $9 million salary, and you want to say we'll eat half of it for the second round pick. I think that makes the most sense. But right now, and look, there's a lot of things at play. If Adams is going to hold out, you know, for the next month, that's a whole different, you know, can of worms here. But I'd say right now retaining salary isn't part of it because, like I said, I think there's 4 to 5 teams making phone calls right now. And when you got that, you keep your money, right?
Right. Do you – I know, like, this is not so much a cap question. Do you like this idea for the Bills?
I don't think I do. I don't think I do. It feels a little bit like the reason they got rid of Stephon Diggs, right? And there are a lot, I think. I think there's a lot more reasons than we know about, and that's perfectly fine. But it sort of feels like that the offense was being built to be spread around to guys that didn't really care about getting one or two catches a week. And I'm not sure that's Adams' profile, right? Knowing what we know about his past with Aaron Rodgers and some of the quarterbacks he's had to be with. So I don't think it makes sense from a scheme fit, but he's going to elevate any offense he joins. So I'm not going to say the Bills should be out completely. I just don't know if it fits the current scheme right now.
Yeah, we've talked a lot today already, Mike and I have, about how the Bills have sounded, how they've talked, even Josh Allen after the Jacksonville game. It's great to have a receiver room where nobody cares about stats, all that kind of stuff. Now, I know it's also pro sports, though, right? So anyone, Brandon Bean, Josh Allen, anyone can get behind a microphone and defend what they said if they have to by simply saying, well, Davante Adams became available. So, you know, duh, we decided to do that. Whoever acquires him is absolutely going to say that. Like, we didn't see this coming. You know, we called about Davante Adams in the spring, and the Raiders said they weren't interested in trading him, but that's changed, so that changes it for us. So, you know, anything the Bills have said since they traded Stephon Diggs, you know, needless to say, it's not binding. You know, like it might look weird, and some people might raise their hands and go, wait a minute, you spent, you know, months convincing us that this way was better, and now the first opportunity, like, you know, pretty girl walks by, like, hey, but, you know, still, I think they could defend it, is all I'm saying, if they wanted to do it, I think.
I think they've said all the right things to this point, and you're absolutely right. It would take one phone call to change that whole plan and maybe change the way the offense works if we bring in a player of this caliber. But he is of this caliber. They do appear to be, you know, on a fast track to win this division right now. So it's not so much about what do we need for 2 to 3 years. If we're talking about 6 months here, this is the type of player that changes, you know, sports teams in a heartbeat. We see it in all the sports, right? The baseball deadline gets – it changes the course of the league in a matter of 2 months, and that can happen with one player. And we don't get these kind of players dangling on the trade block in the middle of October too often. So this is a rarity, and I think teams will treat it that way.
I'll tell you, I've mostly today said, like you just said, I asked you directly, do you like this idea for the Bills? And you don't think you do. I've been pretty much against it too. But boy, a rental, if I could do it without tacking on a year here, right? If he wants to just come in and help me win a Super Bowl and then hit the market, I think I could listen to that. It was really the rest of the contract, which doesn't have to matter, and then compensation, which still could be sticky. I wonder, Mike, how much, while we're on receivers, I want to save some time here to make sure we talk about the Von Miller suspension and what that means. The Amari Cooper idea sounds like a pretty decent idea to me, too. I know he's not Davante Adams, but has been a top-shelf number one receiver in the league and probably wouldn't cost you as much.
No, peanuts at this point because of the ramifications that have happened with Cleveland. Like I said, they tried to load up on cap space for whatever reason. Late in the game, they converted a bunch of salaries, and Amari's was one of them. So he's a minimum contract right now on a one-year deal. He is a true rental, and I don't think there's any kind of obligation to extend him if you acquire him at any point in time over the next month. So his situation seems extremely clean, with the caveat that Cleveland actually wants to make the move and kind of give up on their season that might just be getting started with some of these injuries starting to come back, injured players starting to come back to their offense. So I'm not sure he's actually on the trade block. I think he's been floated by quite a few media members, and you know, bringing the contract into it certainly elevates the idea of moving him. But my goodness, if you can get him to be a third or fourth option at what would be $600,000 for the rest of the year at the deadline, that's certainly a much more efficient way to do business right now. Though I think you said it, and I think a lot of people know it, Amari Cooper is a shell of himself, let alone a shell of Davante Adams right now. So there's certainly risk in doing it, but not financially speaking.
Right. 31 years old is where Amari Cooper is. Adams is currently 32, by the way. On the Western Hotline, Mike Jannetty from SpotTrack joining us here on WGR. All right. Someone called us in the 5 o'clock hour, which prompted this phone call to you here at this late juncture in the show. Hey, you know, Von Miller's suspended. Maybe they can spend that money. My guess is it doesn't work that way, but I don't have to guess because I've got you on the phone. They don't get to use that cap room while he's suspended, do they? Or am I mistaken?
They don't. It's something that gets credited back at the end of the year. After all of it gets worked out, it's sort of just the way the NFL works. There's not much to be freed up either. That's the other part of this, is that big renegotiation that happened back in March really moved a lot of things around. And one of the things that moved around was a gigantic base salary that would have cost him $4 million in this suspension and now only costs him $333,000. So not that I'm trying to say that they kind of expected this was going to come and that was part of the renegotiation. If you remember, this was a $9 million pay cut that converted things into sack bonuses and all sorts of things. So, this was a you got to do this to stick around situation. And if this happens, and I think there was a good possibility of this happening, if this is stemming back to that last November, like I said, they're only freeing up upwards of about $400,000 when it's all said and done from base salary lost and some of the bonuses that he won't make.
Right.
But this also forfeits his ability to make any of those incentives back, really. I mean, he's not going to be an 8 to 10 sack player now because of the suspension, so there'll be credits back with that as well. But no, it's not going to free up room right now. They're not going to be able to kind of capital gains themselves into a new player because of the suspension. But it's it's unfortunate, and the contract, unfortunately for him, sort of is on his side right now.
Yeah, right. Well, don't be so quick on the 8 to 10 sacks. He had a sack in each of the first three games. Didn't play much against Baltimore because the game got sideways. So I mean, he was on a sack a game pace, Mike. So he's still going to play a lot of games after misses these four games. Sorry, I'm being a little cute here. This also doesn't, I know last year when this happened, as unpleasant as it was to ponder the Bills' financial situation within the serious allegations of him assaulting his then pregnant partner, there was some question about, well, could this rise to the level of the Bills being able to get out from under this onerous contract? I don't think this is the sort of thing that rises to that level either. But again, I'm going to ask you, the expert on that.
So the second he's suspended now, any future salary guarantee has voided. The problem is, well, not the problem, but there is no future salary guarantee. This was the line of demarcation for this contract even before this big renegotiation. So the base salary that's left, about $600,000 or so, that's no longer guaranteed. That's really the only impact that's been made here. There's nothing that happened in 2025 or 2026, and unfortunately, there's still $15 million plus of dead cap that Buffalo will have to deal with if they move on next year. So, unfortunately, there's no big sweeping, massive financial change that comes from this outside of the fact that he loses some money, the Bills will get a small cap credit next year, and we go on from there and hope he comes back at the end of October, at that sack parade.
Right. So, well, while we're here, how are the Bills positioned moving forward here? Like, table all this, like whether they want to make a trade for a receiver and have the financial resources to do it or whatever. Them biting off the Diggs dead money this year like they did and just not making it a post-June 1st thing, so they ate the whole thing this year. How do they look moving forward? Like, are they tracking toward having the opportunity to go get a $30 million receiver next offseason if they want to, assuming they don't do any of this Cooper or Davante Adams stuff? Or is everything going to still kind of catch up to them?
They're going to be in the middle of the pack, which is a good thing for a team that's pushing the envelope as hard as they are and sort of had this purge year. They're in decent shape right now, right? They did a nice little restructure to Josh Allen's contract to make sure he's properly compensated this year, but also reduced his cap hit next year. So that's a big deal for Buffalo. They shouldn't have to deal with that next year. And, you know, as long as this cap keeps rising like it has been, and we're projecting another $15 million for 2025, they're going to be in the middle of the pack. So we're talking, you know, 25-ish to start with, and certainly conversions can get you into good space. So, yeah, could I sit here right now and say that they aren't in on superstar players? It's not their style, right? It's not what they're used to be doing in the Brandon Bean era outside of this Von Miller contract, but they're going to be able to afford it. Let's put it that way. If they want to be aggressive next year, they can certainly be more aggressive than they were in 2024, which was a rip-down year, an allocation year, and that's why they're sitting here with the most dead cap in football.
Right. And they did – they extended Spencer Brown once the season got going, and I don't know. What did you think of that deal?
You know, there's not much oomph to it. It's a really nice extension for him. It's an extension that says we want you under term because we know you're our starting right tackle right now, but, you know, it's a situation where they paid him a little bit more this year. They paid him a little bit more in 2025, and then they can walk away from this thing pretty scot-free. So it's not an impactfully guaranteed contract. But if it works out, you've got value in a right tackle where a lot of teams are currently paying $20 to $22 million for a right tackle. So I think it's sort of a leap of faith without having to impact the salary cap or the guarantee structure too much. So I like it in that regard, but we'll see how long they can keep this offensive line intact. It's been one of their superpowers for the past couple of seasons.
Indeed. All right, Mike, thanks a lot for this. Really appreciate it on such short notice. Always informative and helpful to me and the audience. So appreciate it very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, that's one of our dudes, Mike Jannitti. SpotTrack.com is where you can go for all of that. And it's very thorough. As I said, even this Davante Adams salary page has, you know, you go there early in the day like me. Oh, Davante Adams wants to be traded. Oh, the Raiders are interested in trading him. You look, $44 million the next 2 years after this year. Oh, my God, right? How do I find $13 million this year and deal with that? He's 32. Oh, my God. No, it's pretty clean. You can just lop that off and maybe rent him. I mean, that changes the whole scenario for me. I still don't know about the price, especially if the Raiders keep money, like what I'd have to pay to get him. And I'm also... I know this, as excited as we've gotten over the years here, while Diggs was still here, about Beckham, about DeAndre Hopkins, like getting him a running partner, I kind of want to see this through, at least for a few more weeks. I want to see what they look like in Houston. I want to see what they look like against the Jets. And then we still got a couple more games before the deadline gets here, and I reserve the right to get pretty desperate for Adams. I doubt, like Mike is saying, I really doubt that someone's going to come off the top rope. Someone could, but I kind of doubt it. I feel like the Raiders will wait because the asking price, the more teams they can bring into it, maybe as the weeks go by, that cost of acquiring him gets more palatable to teams as $1 million gets taken off of that each week, what they'd be acquiring. And I just think the opportunity that the Raiders have to do the best they can in the trade is to auction him, and I doubt that happens now, right? Right? You're a contending team, and you probably have cap issues moving forward. Like, do you want to be giving up premium draft assets, which are, you know, converted if you hit on them, into cheap players for this player? So you're what you're willing to pay now, I think, changes as you get another month into the season. Perhaps you get more desperate. Maybe you see it slipping away from you. Maybe you think you're more convinced that you are this player away from being a real contender, and that drives up what you're willing to stomach as far as sending assets back the other way. So I don't think, as much as this is fresh news today, and we will be talking a lot about it in the days ahead, I'm sure, I don't expect it to escalate to like, oh my God, he got traded tonight or something. I think it'll take a while. And so I think the Bills have time on all this. Every team in the league has some time. Maybe the Raiders feel like they don't if this guy's going to hold out and not play. But all the same, I don't need to rush. So for now, I know it sounds crazy. I'm okay with Mac Hollins instead of Devontae Adams. Oh my God. Are we recording this? Please. I don't ever want to hear that.
We're going to have to delete this
now. I don't ever want to hear that back. But I want to keep going here until I feel like I have a crisis on my hands. And I don't think one game is going to do that for me. Well, I know it's not going to do it for me. I don't know how many of you maybe feel differently, but we shall see. All right. Timeout at hand. When we get back, we'll get you our conversation with Ross Tucker talking about the Bills' Week 4 loss and the way forward and all that, and some on Devontae Adams as well. That's when we continue. This is Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, on WGR.